So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 119 and 123, just to share a few thoughts that came to me as I was looking at this scripture. And this verse says, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness." And I like to look at sometimes other versions like the Amplified or in this case, the International Children's Bible. And it says, "My eyes are tired from looking for your salvation." Some versions say, "My eyes are straining and they grow weary." Now I want to ask you, who in here likes to wait? So excited to wait. For instance, your birthday's coming. It's the 16th birthday. Usually means you get to drive. When I was growing up, it meant I finally got to go on my first date. I've been waiting for 2 years. Who can't wait for a birthday to come? It's so exciting. You're going to do something special. Maybe it's a special number. You're going to be 18. We don't particularly care to wait. What about vacation? Your family's got a big vacation planned. Oh, you're counting the days. I remember once a year, my dad, and we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and my dad would get reduced tickets to Cedar Point and would take our entire family to Cedar Point. And we would make a, he would make a big deal out of it. Mom and Dad had an old camper about falling apart and probably leaked pretty bad. And, you know, my place to sleep was in a lawn chair in the add-on room, the tent add-on room. But he would go up the night before, Mom and Dad would go up the night before, and we would go to Cedar Point all day, and then we would camp and come home. And I remember being so excited as a kid. I could not wait. And I would talk about me and my friends or my siblings, I'm going to ride this ride. And you remember that witch's wheel? Oh, that one's my favorite. I'm going to ride that one. And then over here in the park, I'm going to make sure that I go on the blue streak at least 2 or 3 times. The excitement that would build up. I could not wait for that to come. What about waiting in line at Starbucks? How many absolutely love when you're going to get a coffee and you go in there and the line is super long and you groan? Ladies, waiting for the bathroom. Why is it the men's restroom? There's no line, but there's always 47 people in the women's line. And we have to wait. And none of us are excited about waiting. Now, I don't know if your dad is like my husband, but when you ask a question, you have to wait for the answer. As in 2 or 3 days later, wait. My dad also was good at that. Any other dads? Yeah, I feel your pain. What about you're sitting at a light and you're anxious and that light is never going to turn green? It has been red for 15 minutes, it seems like. And then the person in front of you doesn't move very fast and you have to wait longer. One time I was with my dad. He had a kind of a funny sense of humor. And the person behind him honked because he didn't move quick enough when the light turned green. And so, no, he sat there until the light cycled all the way through again. So, that was my dad. I was thinking about, too, each child that I was expecting, that 9 months seemed like forever. 40 weeks. You just think, it's never going to happen. The baby's never going to be here. I can't wait for that baby to get here. My first baby, I took her home from the hospital. I should have known. When they brought her to me from the little nursery there in the hospital and said, "Your child is waking up all the other babies in this nursery," I should have known. And I got home for this baby that I could not wait for, my first child, and she cried all the time. And I did not know what to do with her.
Send her back.
Yes. Thoughts cross your mind, trust me. And I remember just sitting downstairs in the base in the living room of my apartment looking at her going, "What have we done?" I'm mom, so I've got to figure this out. And so eventually she calmed down, and then number 4, the same thing happened again, and we said, you know, this is just too much. But the waiting seemed forever, and then all of a sudden, you don't have to wait anymore. Now, who likes to wait for prayers to be answered? God, I need this money right now. This week, I need this money. I can't wait any longer. I need this job. And you want that prayer answered right now. Nobody likes to wait. Waiting tries our patience. Why is this taking so long? I keep looking and looking. My eyes are straining. Cannot see the answer. Reminds me of this. Does anybody know what this is? Where's Waldo? And you look and you look and your eyes are straining, and they always make sure. First of all, what's Waldo look like? Okay, he's got striped shirt. What color? Red and white. There's lots of what in this picture? Red and white stripes, and there's lots of red. And as you're looking and looking to find Waldo, and your eyes are straining, this kind of reminded me of this scripture. I wish I would have had a Where's Waldo book, but I didn't. I must have gotten rid of them. And then I thought about, you probably see these in your social media feed. Find the sea in 20 seconds.
What?
Did you find it?
Yes.
Awesome. I didn't. You find the sea in 20 seconds or less. Maybe because it's blown up. But when it was on my computer, I gave up and looked for the answer. My eyes were straining and I was tired of it. I was tired of looking for the answer. So this just kind of came to me, I thought about as I was studying for this lesson. Now some of the pictures, some of the Waldo pictures are easier than others, but trust me, this will entertain a child for a long time. Buy these. When you're a parent, buy these. You probably remember. Now consider there's some stories in the Bible about waiting. When you think you've had to wait a long time. At the age of 75, Abraham was told by God that you and Sarah are going to have a son. Now, if I got that message from the Lord, I would be, well, first of all, I'd be scared. And I'm not even 65. She was 10 years younger than him. I always tell people when they talk about having more children, I said, my name is Sherry, not Sarah. At 75, no. Sorry, I know that was corny. At 75, he's probably thinking, okay, God, get with it. Come on. I mean, as it is, this is really going to strain my faith. And does anybody know how many years he had to wait to have a child with his wife, Sarah? 25 years. Has anybody ever prayed anything for 25 years? Been looking for something for 25 years? There we go. This is true. Jacob met the love of his life. So romantic. What was her name? Let's keep on going down the genealogy line. Rachel. Love of his life. And he had to work and wait how many years to marry her?
Seven.
Now, 14 years is how many he had to work. But he was able to marry her and then work the additional seven. Now, Brother Steve and I met when I was 14, he was 15, and we had to wait 5.5 years to get married, and I thought that was a long time. But Jacob had to wait 7 for the love of his life. And commentators tell us that he wasn't a teenager. He was actually kind of an older man, maybe even as old as his 40s, which actually is young when you're my age. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and God promised there's going to be a time when I am going to send a deliverer. So this whole time, they're slaves in Egypt. They have this promise they can hold to. Does anybody know how many years from the time God said, I'm going to deliver you from slavery until the time Moses came on the scene and led him out of Egypt? Do you want to guess how many years that was? It was a lot. Double that. 400 years. And we think we've been waiting a while. I'm sure Israelites probably thought, we must have misheard that message from the Lord. This waiting is going on forever. Same thing happened in the end of the Bible. Between, about in the middle of your Bible, there is a division. And you stop one book and another one starts. And they're called what? There's two of them in your Bible.
Testaments.
There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. And in between the two Testaments is usually about one piece of paper. However, in reality, do you know how many years are between the Old Testament and the New Testament? 400 years. All the Old Testament, especially the prophets, that says they're telling us that a Savior is coming, a Redeemer is coming. You're going to be set free. And for 400 years, Israel waited. And not only that, but something else happened in that 400 years, or didn't happen. God didn't speak to his people for 400 years. You can look at some Bible examples of waiting. Next time you think about waiting, think about 25 years for Abraham, 7 years for Jacob, and 400 years for the children of Israel. So I was thinking about this scripture, about my eyes straining and needing to wait. And in the middle of our garden, because we don't have a garden at this moment, it's fall. In the middle of it, we have a pile of things we're going to burn. And I went out the other day and I saw something growing. Do you know what this is? No, it's not a dandelion. Try it again. I don't know if they're cherry tomatoes. It could be, but I kind of doubt it. These are tomatoes. I found this. What are the chances I'm going to get full-grown tomatoes out of this plant in the middle of my burn pile? The plant's still there. These two. Could I put that in water? Hope for the best. And so I looked at this. And of course, it's out of season. This probably was started from the compost that I threw in the garden. This is definitely out of season. And I looked at that, and I did not look at that and go, yum, let's cut these down and slice them and put them on my sandwich. Let's make salsa. That is not the first thought that came to my mind when I saw this plant in the garden. There is a growing season. Before that is ready, before it can meet its full potential, before these tomatoes can be what God wants them to be, there is a growing season. Now we understand that. Nobody in here is going, what's the problem? How come I can't go out there and immediately get tomatoes? Nobody is struggling with that. But we sometimes fail to realize that in our personal development, in our walk with Christ, there is a growing season, a necessity of waiting. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. When it might seem like you're waiting for forever, it might just be a waiting season. God might be looking at you like this tomato plant and going, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. Well, what in the world do we learn by waiting? I know if this were to be have left in the garden, and if we were to have enough warm weather, this would grow. Good things would happen, especially if you like tomatoes. What good can come of us waiting? First of all, you're going to appreciate what you're waiting for more. What if every time you wanted or needed something, it was right there? You received it as soon as you asked. Would you appreciate it like you should? When we were raising children, we did not do a lot of fast food. In fact, when I grew up, we didn't do a lot of fast food. I've told you before, I think Tuesdays were, I don't know if they were quarter hamburger day or something. So my mother would go to McDonald's and get a bag of hamburgers, not cheeseburgers, just hamburgers, bring them home. We'd put mayonnaise and cheese on them and make them. We were so excited. But we greatly appreciated that because it was a treat. We didn't get to have that very often. We also can learn thankfulness. Just like appreciation, how thankful are you for things you do not have to wait for? For instance, who in here today has thanked God for air? Raise your hand. Now you would thank God if you didn't have it and then it came back. But we just take it for granted. We all have air. It's vital. We'll die without it. How about your shoes? Did anybody thank the Lord this morning for that pair of shoes they put on to wear to church? Chances are good you've got a closet full. Just like we have a room full of air. There's no lack. You didn't thank the Lord for it. You just take it for granted. How about the car that got you here? Did anybody have to walk to church today? Anybody get horse and buggy? Bicycle? Who thanked the Lord for the car? This morning it was a little bit chilly. Might have been a little cold. What about your mattress? Did anybody have to sleep on the floor last night? No pillow, no blankets. Did you thank the Lord for your mattress this morning? How about deodorant? Anybody thank the Lord for their deodorant this morning? Are we thankful you wore your deodorant this morning? All right. Did you pray for any of these things? Did anybody get up this morning and say, dear Lord, please make sure I have enough air to breathe today? Lord, please make sure I have shoes to wear. It'll be pretty uncomfortable if I have to go to church barefoot. I might look a little odd. Lord, I'd like a car to get to church. I'm going to feel hurt if I have to walk that 7 miles from my house here. That's how far I live away. What about your mattress? Did you get up and say, thank you, Lord, that I wasn't sleeping on the floor last night, that I actually had a very comfortable mattress? Thank the Lord that I had all the things I need to make me smell good and look good. Did we have to ask God for those things? We're not very thankful for them, are we? And yet go without them for a little while. Maybe the deodorant we could let slide. But some of these things you're going to notice very, very quickly. The air, the shoes. I'm just telling you, tonight when I go home, if their mattress is gone and I have to sleep on the floor, I'm going to be asking God for a mattress right away.
Yes.
So waiting, when we don't have to wait for things, we can't appreciate them. We can't be thankful for them like we should. What about patience? Did you know that patience is developed through waiting? One of my favorite songs that I would sing to my children, and they probably loved me for it. That's sarcasm, by the way. Patience is a good thing every Christian should possess. Have patience, although to wait is hard to do. And when you have a child, especially a preteen or early teen, who is not very patient, they don't like that song. And they for sure don't like mom to sing that song. But it is so true. Patience is a good thing, and you are not born with it. I've only had 4 children, but not a one of them had a patience from day one. We have a little baby. When we had a small child, when they wanted to eat, they wanted it right now. Even with the grandchildren, I think it's so cute. They're just amazing. They're happy, and it's just like night and day. Boom. Must have been a signal came from their stomach to their brain, and they go from smiling to screaming right now. There's no patience. So waiting for things helps us to develop patience. God has a reason for waiting. I could go on and on, but those were just a few that came to me. Just like this tomato is not going to be good until the growing season is finished. You have things in your life that God's trying to do through your waiting. God's ways are much higher than ours. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, what does it mean that God's ways are higher than our ways? Like if I'm up here and I say, the way I'm writing on the board is higher than the people in the basement. Okay, that doesn't even really make sense. But it doesn't mean that I'm higher than them as in I'm on a different floor. It doesn't mean that God's up in heaven and he's higher than us. It means his ways are better than anything that we could ever think of. When you're tired of waiting, when you feel like your eyes are straining to see the answer, remember this tomato plant. I'm waiting. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." And I close with one of my favorite songs in the Collinsworth family that I put on frequently, especially when I'm in a trial of waiting. And it says, "It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. And so I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time. Your ways are higher than mine." The second verse says, "One day I'm sure I'll look back and marvel at how you knew best all along. You see from heaven, you know it's the hard times that make my faith steady and strong. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move, you want me to climb. So I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time. Your ways are so much higher than mine." The next time you're in a period, a season of waiting, I hope you'll remember this lesson. There's something God's trying to do in this season of waiting. Your eyes might grow tired, fail, and strain, but hold steady. God's doing something that's higher than what you can understand right now. Let us stand.